Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington. We're now, actually today, we're broadcasting from beautiful historic old hotel called the Tokelen Inn. Tokelen Hotel in Tokelen, Washington, about 20 miles south of Aberdeen, Washington, on the beautiful Pacific Coast. If you ever need a vacation, I urge you all to visit this beautiful, beautiful area. It's about 2 hours from Seattle, and it's well worth the drive. Today, we're going to be joined by Teresa Carroll. She's a wonderful Seattle psychic. She's also the author of a book called All Spooked Up, and who has visited many haunted houses, of which the hotel is one. Legends say that a ghost named Charlie, an illegal immigrant from China, died in the hotel in the 1930s. He was in room 7. Room 7 actually is where been the site is also the site of a long ago murder. It should be a fun show today, friends. We'll be on the hour for the next hour with Teresa Carroll and myself contacting spirits here in the hotel. Teresa, are you there today? Well, we'll wait a minute here to get Teresa on the line. In the meantime, Teresa's had a wonderful career. She's an internationally known psychic for the past 26 years and has visited over 29 countries to study with shamans, healers, and spiritual masters. Her life has been devoted to empowering people. She does readings and healings for those looking to improve the quality of their life. And she's just an amazing, amazing person. She uses tarot cards in her readings as well as just her regular psychic abilities. She's also been a psychic consultant since 1985. She's a certified counselor in the state of Washington and holds degrees in social services, chemical dependency counseling, and cross-cultural psychology. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. You'll have to speak up a little bit, though. That's great. That's great,
okay.
Teresa.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm in a rural area at the Tokelen Hotel, and it's sometimes difficult to maintain a computer signal for Skype. So that's why we have you on the line today. Well, Teresa, tell us a little bit about your wonderful background.
Well, I'm very delighted to say that I just hit 30 years as a full-time psychic. And this is quite rare. Most psychics that you meet, we call ourselves the weekend warriors. They work a normal 9-to-5 job, and then they go out on the weekends and do psychic work. And for me, it's been 30 years as being a full-time psychic, and it happened because of a near-death experience. I never looked forward to being a psychic. It was not something I would have planned to do, but about the time I was 27 years of age, I had developed terminal cancer, and I had a out-of-body experience. And with that out-of-body experience, I was given the message that I could either die or I could choose to change my life radically and have an extraordinary life. And in making that choice, I suddenly became psychic. It was just like somebody hit a switch and I suddenly saw auras. I saw ghosts. I saw guides and angels and demons and things that other people didn't even know existed, and I was able at will to go into different dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, I want to thank you so much, Teresa. You were one of my big speakers at my wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference, March 6, 7, and 8 at the wonderful Inn at Gig Harbor in Gig Harbor, Washington. And I thank you so much for coming to the conference here a few weeks ago.
Oh, it was a delight. The people there were amazing. And I was just so delighted for that connection. I'm looking forward to when you get the recordings out so that I can sell them to other people or have other people purchase them from you. And it was just such good information, and I'm so grateful that you did record it. So I'm looking forward to being able to pass that on to my friends and clients. It was great stuff.
Well, I have to tell you, friends who are listening, they should be available here in the next month or so, all the video recordings of the conference and everyone who was there, including one person named Jerry Wills, who actually restored the eyesight of a lady who was legally blind. She still has her eyesight restored. Talk about an amazing miracle that happened on Saturday night, March 7th. You'll be able to see that on the video, as well as another video of an otherwise crippled elderly lady from Salem, Oregon, who had her walking restored in her legs. I mean, these things, you had to be there to see it, but we've got the videos of everything. There'll be a small donation, very small donation if you'd like to listen to the videos, but they'll all be there on the web. And the website to go to is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. That's www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Anytime in the next month or so, we should have that done. And I want to thank so much. There's a friend of mine named Orion. He's also from Oregon, and he's been working on this, I know, on a largely volunteer basis. And without his help, this would have not been possible. But Teresa, so you've been a psychic all these years, and you must have some amazing stories to tell.
Oh, you bet. Like I said, I was offered the extraordinary life, and it has been extraordinary. I've traveled to 29 countries and studied in 27 of them with shamans or spiritual healers, kahunas, medicine men, medicine women, people, mostly the indigenous people, just getting down to earth and learning about spirituality from more indigenous viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And it's been incredible. But talking about Jerry Wills, I had an experience that I haven't shared with you when I was at the Galactic Wisdom Conference this past March.
Mm-hmm. Well, please share it with me. I'd love to listen. I'm sure my listeners would love to hear what happened.
Well, on Saturday night, Jerry gave a two-hour presentation, and during that, he was up on the front of the room, and he said he was going to send healing energy and remove any sort of implants that any of us had. And
wow.
So in 1985, I had several events with UFOs that were just really extraordinary. And I finally stood on my front lawn one day and told them to go away and leave me alone because it was a little unsettling. I was new to metaphysics. I was new to spirituality, and UFOs and beings from another reality were a little bit too much for me to handle. And I've interacted with them a little bit since, but nothing on par to what I went through about 1985. Well, I hadn't really given it much thought. And so Jerry is talking at the conference about getting rid of implants, and I never felt like I had implants. But during his presentation, you'll hear somebody sneeze very violently. That was me. I sneezed twice, and I blew something. It was like a piece of hard plastic came out of my nose, and there was blood on it, and it was laying on the table, and it was probably about a half an inch long and about a fourth of an inch wide. It was like a little rectangular. If we poked it with the pencil, it felt like it was plastic. And by the time we got Jerry to come and look at it, it had dissolved into just a puddle. But it had been a rigid lines to it. And it came out of my nose during that healing.
God, that's amazing. I hadn't realized that. That's amazing.
So I hadn't realized I was implanted, but his healing work is extraordinary. And normally I don't, tell people to go to someone, but I feel like if anybody does have concerns about implants, that he would be the number one person on my list to refer to, because I definitely know an implant came out of my nose, and I didn't even know I had that. So it was quite extraordinary.
Well, I have to tell you, Jerry did tell me that he did a mass healing taking out alien implants at the conference on Saturday, March 7th. The implants are from the reptilians. They're using this not only to monitor us, but also try to control us in negative ways. And I talked to Jerry recently. He says he has plans to return to the Tacoma, Seattle area sometime in June to give some healing sessions then. So if you are interested in it, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Again, that's outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or call me at 509-750-9793 and just leave your contact information so I can let you know when he'll be up here, probably sometime in June when I spoke to him about a week or two ago.
Great. That's good to know. You're at the Tocklin House.
I'm in the Tocklin Hotel right now. I'm in the hotel lobby. It was built in 1868. It's named after an American Indian gentleman named Old Tok. And when you step into this, Teresa, you can tell there's what the locals here called friendlies, friendly spirits here. But there was a mirror actually committed in room 7 that is very haunted. I've stayed here before at the Tocklin Hotel, but I've specifically stayed away from room 7 because I don't want any problems. I let the spirits go, and you know they have their space, and I have mine. We have some dear friends who also live next to the Tocklin Hotel, and they also have what they call friendlies that living there too. Their place actually used to be a tavern, and they can still hear at night people dancing to old jukebox clinkering on this old wooden floor. And we just tried to contact them now. They're not home. They're probably out shopping, maybe doing some errands. But the spirits definitely are around here. There was a Chinese gentleman named Charlie who was here. He lived here in the 30s and 40s until he passed away. And they say that his spirit is also wandering around here as well. I've never felt threatened here by the spirits. I've always got a good feeling from them. They're just in another dimension, and they've just chosen to be here. The energy is good. Mostly good, and I've always had a very pleasant experience here. You feel like when you're at the hotel here, Teresa, and my friends across the United States, Canada, and around the world, you feel like you've stepped back maybe 100 to 150 years in terms of atmosphere. There's a bright white light around the hotel. But I thought it would be fun to broadcast from the hotel today for a little change of scenery from the studio in Bellevue, and bring you on. You're such a wonderful, good psychic, Teresa. I was just wondering if you might pick up on anything from the many spirits around here at the old Tocklin Hotel.
Well, I have to confess, Ted, I've done a ghost investigation out there twice now. The first time was several years ago, I think about 2006 or 2007, with John Curley of Evening Magazine.
Great.
And that was extraordinary. And I'm trying to remember which room is room 7. If you go up the back staircase, do you make a right and go down the hallway? Which room is it?
That's probably 1 or 2. I know where you're talking about. That's downstairs. I know where that is. Yeah.
But where is which room is room number 7?
7's upstairs, and the problem you see is that if I walk around a lot, I could lose signal. The reception is there's only certain parts of the hotel here that has good cell reception or Skype reception.
And right. I was asking you to pull it from memory. Just tell me from memory which room is number 7.
Okay, number 7 is almost directly above me. I'm on the first floor, and 7 is just above me. In up on the second floor.
Okay. The thing that I experienced when I was there with John Curley was when I walked into that room, there was like a sense of somebody almost like tried to restrain or hold me, and it was so startling because I wasn't expecting it. Right now, I'm not feeling, as I'm reaching out psychically right now, I'm not feeling any sort of concern. I'm feeling more of a sense as if though somebody stepped back and kind of watching, like they're not sure what's going on and they're just observing. So I don't feel any hostility as much as I felt a sense of restraint and a very, very uncomfortable with that energy. But the hotel overall is delightful. I would agree with you. And one of the things that we discovered while we was there was that there's a lot of groundwater, and the local librarian came up and she validated that. So she's an interesting person to talk to because she keeps the local history and is able to explain things. I'm not right now just kind of sensing everything. I feel as if a lot of the activity is seasonal, as if people come in and out, come in and out during different times of the year. And it seems as if there was more of a tendency to come to this location more from the months of June through September. And so it's still a little bit early for some of the ghost activity.
Oh, I see. Do you think the spirits that you're picking up maybe were people who like to fish on the ocean, or were workers in the air, seasonal workers in the area that they came and stayed here during that June to September time frame, and the other parts of the year they were gone?
I feel more like it might have been a group of tourists or people who went on sabbatical, or went upper class people who went to resorts or places to get away, to kind of, and that they may have even come in through the water. Some of them come through carriage and some of them come through water, as if they came a distance, just more on an outing for a recreational pursuit.
Sure.
The thing that I feel very strongly about it is that, well, I have written a book called All Spooked Up, and it talks about what a ghost is. And it's important to realize that not every person who dies becomes a ghost. That a ghost is someone who is not aware that they are dead. And because of a process where their higher conscious mind and their subconscious mind get separated, there's no realization of their death, and so they continue to live their life as if they're still alive with no true cognizant realization of death.
Fascinating. That's fascinating.
So what they normally would do, whether it was go to work or go on vacation or go see the family, they'll continue to do, not realizing that they're dead. It's like a radio signal just keep sending out, even though there's no radio to pick up the signal. It just keeps sending out, and it keeps relooping itself.
Sure.
And so that would be why some of the ghosts would be seasonal, because they would be coming only a given point of time. Now, there are some spirits there that came in on what we would call the Chinese underground.
Interesting. And was that during the 19th century? Do you pick up at that time?
Yes, the 19th century and the early, around early 1930s as well, to about that period of time, from about 1879 to 1932-37. I feel like there were Asian immigrants that were brought in to do menial tasks, and they were snuck in. They were brought in and hidden, and some of them, and I feel like Charlie might have been one of those individuals, that he ended up getting away and staying there. But I feel that they came in through the area, and sometimes they were hidden. More of a feeling on outbuildings that had false floors.
Okay, sure.
But they were often brought into the house to do labor and do things until they were moved on to other locations.
Sure. Interesting. I just picked up Charlie now. He's here with me now in the bottom floor of the hotel. He said that he came from, he originally was from Nanjing, then lived for a time in Shanghai, came to the States at the turn of the century, and he ended up, the Tokelen Hotel was a place that he lived here through the Depression, and actually he passed away here in the area. But he's never left the hotel since that time. He's still around here. Do you pick that up? I'm picking that up now.
Yes, I feel that's very accurate. We met Charlie. I did a ghost investigation about 3 years ago at the Tokelen Hotel with a group of people, and we met him out behind the kitchen.
Well, you know, that's actually where I am now. I'm right behind the kitchen.
That's delightful.
Yeah. Pardon me, but I don't know a lot of Chinese, but I'm going to say ni hao, ni hao ma, which means hello, ni hao ma. And so I'm saying hello to him. He's acknowledging. He's still, thank you. Somebody recognized me. He's speaking Chinese. Quite happy about that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell Charlie now. Charlie, that's the extent of my Chinese. I don't know any more Chinese than that, hardly. So I know I do have listeners who do speak Chinese, and it'd be fun to have them on now. They could speak to him. But go ahead, Teresa.
Well, there's he used to raise chickens. He liked
That's
to.
That's right.
Because there seems to, you'll probably get a signature. And when I say a signature, there might not be a hen house there now, but there's a signature of chicken coops and hen houses in that area. You'll probably feel right where it is if you kind of look around, sense around. He used to take a lot of pride on raising chickens, and I feel like he did a little bit of recreation on the side of chicken cockfighting as well.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm picking that up now. Actually, he's pointing out that the old chicken coops are just behind the hotel up in the lawn behind the place on the right. So in Charlie's honor, when after the interview, I'll walk back there and give some blessings to his chicken friend. So
that's great. But he loved to raise chickens. I feel like Charlie did quite a bit about trying to breed some really quality chickens. He liked to have the fresh eggs, and he liked to have the chicken dinners, and occasionally he would raise a cock or two for fighting, just for the sport of it.
One of the things he's liking now is the fresh air. He loved the ocean breezes coming off the ocean. Where the Tokelen Inn is located, it's on beautiful Willapa Bay, which is just off the Pacific. And he loved, when he's in his free time too, he's telling me he liked to walk along the ocean just to think. When he wasn't busy, that was one of the most satisfying things for him. That's why he's never left. He says he's passed on from his physical body, but he's still a spirit, and he still loves hanging around, so he's still here.
Well, when you find someone like Charlie, they may often be a spirit who, like you say, has made a choice and not necessarily a ghost, because ghosts normally don't know they are dead. And if you tell them that they are dead, their reaction is either to think you're threatening to kill them, you know,
right.
Or that you're a little kooky and that they're not going to try to contest you in case you're harmful to them. So if he's telling you that he's aware that he's dead, then he is choosing to be there, and that's. One thing we have is the right that after we go to the other side, we can actually come back and be anywhere we choose on this planet. Many people like to be at the ocean or be in the mountains. Just because we have that freedom of choice in this reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he likes it here. The air is clean. His chickens are gone. He's sad about that. But he vicariously lives off the good vibrations of people who come to visit, and so he's here. Actually, I'm right behind the kitchen, and I'm feeling his presence right now as we speak.
Yeah, he was an interesting man. I don't feel like he married, though. I feel like he enjoyed, he was almost like a major manager, and he did a lot of running and keeping things taken care of behind the scenes at the hotel. And I feel like that gave him a lot of pride and self-worth. I do feel like there was a woman at the hotel he was very devoted to, but I don't feel like he was married to her.
No, that's right. They had a relationship, and he loved her dearly. Oh, she just popped in too. She's around. They're both around here, which is really neat.
Yes, it's fun, isn't it? The ghost that's in room seven, what is your take on him? Mine was that he was a person of I feel like he is a ghost, that he doesn't know he is dead. And my sense on him was that he was involved in some criminal activities, and that he died of a bullet shot of some sort. Somebody shot at him, and where I don't feel like he died right away, I feel like it became septic, and he died of complications of having an open wound.
I'm picking up that he was involved in the sexual assault of someone, a woman here in the hotel. And he was, somebody shot him in retribution for that. He ended up, he was shot in that room for his crime. So that's where I see what happened to him. He ended up staying in that room. And he didn't want to leave, so he's just decided to stay. If you do come to the Tokyo Hotel, unless you want to meet a ghost, stay out of room seven. Stay out of room
Well, there's a couple
seven.
of really nice ghosts. One of the things that happened to me when I was at Tokelin was I had got up during the middle of the night, and I was in the very first room. If you go down to the far end of the hotel and go up the stairs, the first room on the end, I think it's one of the bigger rooms. I was staying in there, and I got up in the middle of the night, and the bathrooms are down the hallway. There's no baths in the room, and I got up to go to the bathroom, and I didn't have a key, or I didn't know where the key was, so I left the door unlocked, and I shut the door so that no one walking by would see that it was open. I went down to the bathroom, which was maybe, it was either the next doorway or two doorways down. I'm not quite sure. It's been a while. I went into the bathroom, got myself all settled in there, and all of a sudden, the bathroom door, which was locked, flew open, hit the wall, and bounced back as if somebody had kicked it open.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And I was
Oh,
very
that was.
startled, but I listened. I didn't hear anybody moving around or anything. And I said to one of the ghosts who had opened the door of, "Excuse me, but the room is occupied." I finished up. I went back to my bedroom, and the door was locked. I couldn't get in.
Oh no.
So I had to wake up my husband, who was asleep in the room, and he came over and he unlocked the door so that I could get in.
Oh my goodness. Oh no.
The
Oh no.
next morning, at the top of the stairwell to the right, the gal that was in that room, she got up and she started pounding at the wall and hollering because her door was locked and she couldn't get it unlocked.
Oh my goodness.
And when several of us came over and said, "Would you please unlock the door just popped open on its own.
Really? Wow.
So it was
Well,
interesting. There was
I am.
somebody in the hotel who liked to lock and unlock doors.
Oh my goodness. Well, I plan to stay here tonight, and I'm not going to stay in room seven. I am going to stay in room two instead. And I'll give a full report to my listeners a week from today as to what happens, if anything, tonight. So It should be fun.
I do believe room two was the one where the door got locked behind me when I left.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I always cover myself in lots of white light whenever I go anywhere nowadays. And for those of you who are experiencing any kind of supernatural problems with ghosts or other spirits, what I recommend doing is to visualize covering yourself in complete white light from a higher angelic authority like God or Jesus or whatever higher authority that you recognize. And then you surround yourself with a series of mirrors pointed outward so that if anyone or anything directs any negativity to you, it bounces back to them. Then you seal it with a prayer of gratitude, saying you're very grateful for their help. And usually if you put it in place for a short amount of time, perhaps a day or two, that seems to work the best and give it the most power. And with that, it does help protect you in any kind of supernatural situation. The other thing to do, too, is to burn sage. Now, I actually have some sage with me today, and I may burn some, depending if I need it. Now, sage is nice in the sense that it drives out bad spirits, yet the good spirits like sage, and they'll stay around.
Well, I find that most ghosts are people. I mean, there are some dogs and horses and cats and such.
Uh-huh.
And because they're people, most people won't harm us, and most people will be respectful, and we can work out our differences if we just calm down and are respectful. And so I find over the 35 years that I have been doing ghost investigations and clearing places, I have found that there are very, very few incidents where there's any real harm or complications that come out of this situation. So
sure.
I feel good about, you know, protecting ourselves, but I think the biggest protection any of us can have with working with the paranormal is just common sense and just to slow down and try to understand what's going on and then work with it and work with our spirit guides and our angels to assist us.
One of the things that I really like about you, Teresa, you have a wonderful attitude about life. You always exude a lot of positivity. And that, my friend, she's not only a good psychic, but also, too, Teresa can help you connect you with your guardian angels and spirit guides to really find answers to almost anything. Teresa, do you mind if I give out the studio line in case you might like to take some questions from our listeners?
Sure.
Okay. The phone number at the studio is 425-373-5527. I think I have that right. If I'm wrong, Eric, please let me know. But I think it's 425-373-5527. And we'll continue talking. But if anyone there has any questions about, if they want a quick psychic reading on the phone or questions about ghosts, feel free to call in. Happy to have Teresa answer them. What's the most interesting thing that's happened to you the last couple of years with respect to ghosts or psychic story there, Teresa?
At the Tokeland or just overall?
Overall.
Oh, I've got a lot of stories. I think one of the most interesting ones was I went to this house near Mount Rainier, and there was an enormous vortex that when you walked into the house, it was like you walked into another dimension.
Really? Wow.
And, of course, there were three adolescent children in that house, and adolescent energy seems to magnify any sort of spiritual phenomena, especially around the ghosts and the spirit activity. And so these people were having things disappear. They were waking up. They'd go to sleep downstairs and wake up upstairs. They would be upstairs and would find themselves downstairs in the house. It was a really bizarre situation. And it was caused by what we call a vortex, which is a doorway between realities. And we see these like in Sedona, Arizona, up around Mount Rainier. Most of the big vortexes like Stonehenge and Easter Island, they've built things around and there's a lot of spiritual activity. Some of our major churches and such are built on energy vortexes. But this particular one, these people had actually built a house, so there was a vortex in the center of it, and it was bringing in spirits from all different dimensions, and they were constantly having people show up and just stand and look at them and then disappear. It was probably one of the most bizarre ones that I have been part of.
Fascinating. I'm sure you've heard of string theory, where there are many different parallel universes in addition to this one. And whenever people make a choice about their about during their daily lives, for example, to drive one direction instead of another, to go to like grocery shopping or to work or to school, or that they're at a restaurant and they choose to have one dinner over another, they're constantly creating different parallel dimensions. And the theory is that those dimensions coexist at the same time this dimension does, and they're all linked together by subatomic particles called strings, and hence the term string theory. And that vortex that you talked about was very interesting, because it literally, the different dimensions, the different parallel universes, are actually linked together in different dimensions. It is possible, I'm told, to go between these different dimensions and different universes, depending upon where you go into the planet. So that particular location, is it a private residence, you say? Could you go back there again sometime?
Yes, it is a private residence, but they finally sold the house, so probably I'd have to contact the new owners.
Okay.
They decided that when one of their kids went to college, that it was time to move out and find something that wasn't so disruptive.
All right. Okay. Well, I'd just like to throw this out for a future radio show. If you'd like to, it would be fun. I think it'd be very interesting for my listening audience, Teresa, to travel through different dimensions, through parallel universes. So if you could contact, maybe if you don't mind, you could contact the owners of the new house and ask them if we could do a show from their house, and we could go into different dimensions. I think that'd be fascinating, as long as Eric could maintain the signal from KKNW. So that would be fascinating.
That would be fun. But on the same theme, my guides talk about death and dying that way. They say that just as we have a physical body that has different systems in it, the lungs, the heart, the muscles, the skeletons, all the different systems, there's 11 to 13 different systems, depending on how you divide them out in the human body, that the reality in which we live is a multiverse of systems. So it's very similar, what they say, to the string theory. And literally, they say that these dimensional doorways, we call them vortexes, they just take us from one system into another. They're a transfer point. And that's in these places we'll see energy more, and we'll see into other dimensions. And often what seems to be a ghost or apparition will come through, because we're actually seeing into another universe.
Fascinating. I'm not on the best connection, so I just wanted to check with Eric if we have any callers. If we do, we can take... We do? Okay, great. We'll go ahead and take a caller now, Teresa. Go ahead. We'll just wait for get them online.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. I can barely hear you.
Yes, hi there. Welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, and the wonderful psychic Teresa Carroll.
Hi, how are you today?
Just fine, my friend. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Beth, and I'm from Everett.
Hi, Seth. Welcome to the program. Feel free to ask any questions you like of Teresa, or maybe of the spirits here in Tokeland at the Tokeland Hotel.
Okay, so my question is, my son passed a few years ago, and I want to know why I have not been able to connect with him since he passed.
Ah, very good question. There's what we call a transition that happens. And he probably connected with you just immediately after he died, but now he's in a transition. And my sense is When we first die, the first thing that happens is whatever we expect to have happen will happen. So if we expect to see angels and pearly gates, we'll get that. If we expect to be put in a holding cell or put on trial, we'll get that. And my sense is that your son is enjoying a sense of freedom and enjoying, it's almost like riding horses and just enjoying a freedom of life that he felt that he didn't have, as if he felt he would be free to really live and enjoy life. So there's a sense that he's very focused in that right now. When he finally comes to a place where he thinks, what happens next, he'll then go through a process of basically understanding his death, understanding his life, and then getting a chance to bring things to closure or make amends. And then when he's through that, he'll be totally integrated into the spiritual realm and totally aware. And that's normally when they will reach out and talk to you and work with you, unless they have something in the ways of amends or closure that has to happen. So what's your son's name?
Donald.
Donald. My sense is Donald is just really enjoying his freedom, and it's almost like he felt like he had too much responsibility and he was overwhelmed. And right now he's just enjoying himself. He'll probably be through his transition in another 9 to 12 months, and then I feel like you'll start having dreams of him. You'll start going back over things in your mind and being aware of his presence. And then about another 6 months after that, he'll just show up and start talking to you.
Wow, that would be amazing. He was killed, abruptly killed, and I've had a fear that his spirit is still here. And so I'm happy to hear that, he's gone on. I was really afraid.
I'm glad you have concerns, but I want to reassure you because his guides are right here and they're saying, no, he's fine. He's just riding horses and enjoying being free. He was very family oriented and very hyper responsible, and he's just having freedom right now.
Okay. That's very good to hear. I appreciate that.
He's actually, this is a, maybe a pun on words, but he's having the time of his life. And life is, he's laughing because he's not alive in this dimension, but he's alive on the other side.
Right.
And I see him riding horses, just having this complete freedom to do anything and go anywhere he wants. He's quite happy.
Wow. It was so traumatic. It was such a horrific, awful thing. And I have not been able to connect with a lot in my life since he was killed, and that's very comforting to know.
it's sad to lose one. Parents always want to go before their children, but I feel like for Don, it's almost as if he wanted to be able to help other people with their spiritual growth. And so once he gets through this transitional period, I feel like he's going to be helping you, and your awareness of the spiritual side is going to shift radically over the next 15 years. Almost like he wants you to see things a little differently.
Well, that's good, because I can't get back to myself. I haven't been able to get back to myself, to my faith and all of that, but that I had before his death. So, yeah, it's been very difficult. I miss my faith almost as much as I miss my son.
Well, I feel that he's going to be very instrumental in helping you grow that, expand that, and see it from a new perspective.
Good. That's great to hear.
He's saying to try to do a, do you meditate? If you send it, try to meditate in a quiet place without, and clear your mind of everything, because that's, he'll be able to best communicate with you through thoughts. That's what a lot of spirits do. It's easiest for them to communicate through thoughts. As long as you're in a quiet meditative state, and that really helps.
Okay. Yeah, I do meditate, not on a regular basis like I would like to, but I can do that more. Alrighty.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I hope that was helpful to you. And Teresa, would you like to give your contact information in case she wants to follow up with you?
Yes, my name is Teresa Carroll, T-E-R-E-S-A, and Carroll like a woman's first name, C-A-R-O-L. I have a website, www.teresacarroll.com, or you could email me at teresacarroll55@gmail.com. And also, my contact number is 253-475-6005.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. I have a rather poor connection here, and I can't tell if we have another caller. Eric, we could take that person now, and if not, we can go on to some. Maybe we get a hold of Charlie again here at the hotel. Well, that's fine. That's fine, friends. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, Teresa, is that there's no such thing as death. That people do die, when their physical bodies die here in the third dimension, they undergo a transformation. They're still very much alive in the other dimensions. And I've run into situations where sometimes spirits do want to communicate with their loved ones on the other side, from the other side, but sometimes people here in this dimension aren't aware of their presence, so they're not open to it, and they don't communicate like they should. And one of the most useful methods that I've found is to meditate early in the morning or late at night, with your mind clear, and if you're quiet, often they will come through in terms of thoughts to you.
Very well spoken. And you'll find
Thank
that
you.
The biggest thing, I think, is people just don't ask. If you just speak and then listen, often you will hear an answer. One of the things that I find is very effective if I'm trying to speak to a lost loved one is to take a photograph of them and face it towards the mirror and speak to the reflection in the mirror. Often the mind will quit filtering because it expects an image in the mirror to move, and you'll start getting better perception than if you're just trying to talk to the air.
Interesting.
The brain has a tendency, because it's overstimulated, to filter out so much of that we miss some of the intuitive stuff. So we kind of play these little tricks on it so that it'll let the information through a lot easier.
Wonderful, wonderful. And also, too, a lot of times spirits and loved ones who've passed on will come to you in the dream state. And the dreams are just as real as this dimension here, except that it's much easier for them to come to you in the dream state because any inhibitions you may have as to seeing them are down, and they can communicate you through dreams.
Yes. Well, when we sleep, our subconscious mind actually kind of turns itself off. Our conscious mind winds down, but our higher conscious mind actually astral travels. We go out of the body, and we check in different areas with different people, and we can go to any place that we choose, even to another dimension or to a place where our loved ones who have passed over live. And then when we come back, it appears in our mind as if it's a dream, but often because it's a cryptic thing, we don't understand it. But if you see someone in your dream, know with a surety that you did connect with that person and literally interact with them during your slumber time, that your spirit went there and talked to them.
Well, I want to share this with you, Teresa, and my many listeners. I've spoken to my dad many times in dreams. We've had long discussions, as well as other wonderful relatives who passed on. My dad passed away in March of 1999. He was a wonderful man. I couldn't have asked for a better father. And I've often been able to contact him in the dream state, and we've had long discussions. It's been quite interesting. And for those of you who'd like to try this, what you can do is also have a notebook next to your bed at night, and you can write down impressions, because often your guardian angels, whether that be your your parents, for example, or other spirits will, and or other friends or relatives will come through and give you important messages about your life or things that you you should go on. One of the things you have to remember too is that when you get a message from the fifth dimension, when you get a message through the dream state, if they're benevolent entities, it's usually the accuracy rate is 100% because you're coming. They come from a place of truth. The spirits always like to say that the reality in this third dimension, much of it is not true. It's either half true or just outright falsities. Only about 2/3 to 3/4 of what you hear and see and read on this side of the veil and the third dimension is actually true. Much of it is false. And you can see that all the time with many politicians and government pronouncements where they just don't tell you the truth, and you know it's not true. But from the fifth dimension, things are true. We only have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to thank everyone for the wonderful support of Out of This World Radio. For those, we will be broadcasting another wonderful show from about a week from now. But Teresa, we've got about a minute or two left, and I'd like to have you say the last few comments for my many listeners.
Well, I just want people to know that ghosts and paranormal information or in situations are difficult at times, but use common sense and don't let it overwhelm you. If woman can
survive, they may great. Well, my friends, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next Friday. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care. Bye-bye.